do thank you for taking care of us. And we thank you, Lord, to give us that we may give back to you. We know, Lord, you don't really need any of this stuff. It's our expression of our worship of you. We pray, Father, that you would take our sacrifice this morning and use it to advance your kingdom and to bless your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The sermon is called A Road Less Traveled. And that idea actually came out of a poem written by Robert Frost in the early 1900s. And I'm going to read you the last three lines of that poem. Two roads diverge in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Robert Frost wrote that poem to make fun of people who were indecisive, that you know, had trouble. They obsessed over their decisions. But from the very beginning, that poem was taken as a call to make a decision. To make a decision that didn't necessarily follow the majority. He sent it as to his friend, first person who read it. He read it, made a decision to join the army. You know, it had a different effect than what he thought it would have. As a lot of artwork does that. Anyway, I have pictures here, which you can't see very well, but we have on the left-hand side, we have a very easy promenade with lots of people, very well-traveled. On the right-hand side, we have a trail with obstacles, kind of overgrown, the road less traveled. Jesus talks about decisions in many places, and we kind of have this decision in our life. And we're going to look in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus calls for a decision. And he compares two things as he's calling for that decision. The narrow gate and the wide gate. Jesus is speaking to his followers. He's speaking to his disciples. Those who know him but are generally unaware of the decision they will be confronted with after his death and resurrection. These are people that know something about Jesus. But they haven't fully understood the gospel. And they haven't made a full faith commitment to Christ. They know about him, but they haven't committed to follow him at any cost. This is a message for today. For those who know about Christ, they know about the gospel, but they haven't made a decision of faith for Jesus. They haven't decided to fully commit their lives and submit their lives to Christ and follow him by faith. But let me begin by reading the short scripture. We only have two verses to look at this morning. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad, or easy, if it would be another translation of that word for broad, is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow, or hard, is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, please overwhelm the weakness of me in delivering your message. Father, just move me out of the way and speak to our hearts and our minds by your Spirit, that we would hear the message that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus doesn't say you ought to consider the narrow gate. It really, you know, as you're trying to figure this out, you just consider the narrow gate and work through. It's an imperative statement. He's saying you must enter through the narrow gate. Jesus is calling his disciples to a decisive action. And then he explains that call, that imperative, with a warning. Choose the narrow gate because the alternative, the wide gate, which is very popular, leads to destruction. And what I want to look at this morning is comparisons. There's three comparisons. There's two gates, there's two roads, and there's two results. And then I want to look at sort of a case study of a person who's considering these two options and sort of working through the decision. Well, let's look at the two gates. Jesus uses the gates as an image, an illustration of two opposing decisions. The narrow gate signifies a decision to put our full faith and trust in Christ, to commit our lives to Him and be brought into a personal relationship with Him, and to have our hearts and our lives transformed by the Spirit in us. It's a calling to be born again, to have the experience of the Spirit of God in us. It's a gift. And Jesus earned that by His perfect life and His death on the cross. The narrow gate, though, by very nature, is restrictive. It's not a group activity to go through the narrow gate. It's an individual decision to go through the narrow gate. It's restrictive in terms of belief. There's only one truth. And that source of truth is God. We talked about that this morning in the growth group. And it's restrictive in terms of a calling in our lives. There's certain activities that we are involved in. The way we live out our lives is restrictive to go through that gate. We have to make a commitment to that. And it's restrictive in terms of the fact to go through that gate, you have to actually give up your life for the sake of Christ. To get through the narrow gate, a person has to travel light and trust that God will provide all that we need beyond that gate. Don't carry stuff with us to rely upon. Rely upon God beyond that gate. Now, in contrast, there's the wide gate. It signifies commitment to ourselves, reliance on our own understanding, our own efforts. This is a picture of the majority, the world, our culture, basically. It's, you know, you ask everybody's opinion, and the consensus of opinion would be you take the wide gate. The wide gate is easier to get into. There's hardly any restriction to get through the wide gate. You can believe kind of anything. It's not really necessary to have a settled truth. Tolerance is a virtue. Everything's okay getting into the wide gate. No one has to give anything up to get through the wide gate. It's really easy and not very restrictive. And you can see why it's so popular. Then Jesus looks at the roads that you can see beyond the gates. And that road beyond is the life that takes place beyond those decisions, those gates. And we can see why that wide gate, it's just so popular, because beyond the wide gate, you see a spacious and easy road to travel. On that spacious, easy road, there are no limits. We can bring anything with us. Everything is tolerated on the road. There's plenty of room to kind of spread out. There's no restrictions on what we have to believe or what we have to do. There's no pressure to repent of our sins or to change. In our pluralistic culture, everything has value. I don't know whether you ever thought about this. It tries to give everything value, but nothing has importance. Everything's kind of, that's important. That. All those things are valuable, but there's nothing that has ultimate importance and nothing that's all that important. It's sort of the living out of John Lennon's song that has a little line that says, "Nothing to live or die for." That's kind of the flavor of our pluralistic culture. To get along, you have to diminish all the significant things in people's lives. The road beyond the wide gate is the one that people choose because it's a place of acceptance. It's a place of comfort. It's where everybody is. It's where they all hang out. And most people like to be liked. Most people want to be respected. They want to be envied, even. They want to be cool. It starts in high school, but it never really stops. People want to be cool. We want to be someone that other people look at us and go, gee, I wish I had what he had. Or maybe I wish I was what he was, or I was like him in some way. And you find that with the wide gate, because that's where all the people are. And if we're looking for the easy way, the route to earthly goodies, to a good life in this world, then obviously the wide gate's the way to go. In fact, I've talked about that before. If you want an easy life, don't be a Christian. It'll just mess you all up. You can see why people choose that wide gate. Most people do. And then there's the narrow gate. The narrow gate that leads to this road, that's the hard road. Now, NIV translates it as the narrow road. It really doesn't carry the sense, because the word there is not the normal word for narrow. It's the libo. Not that anyone there would probably notice that, but it's the word for affliction. It's the word for being hard pressed. It's the word for trouble. So you're sitting there looking at two gates. You look at the narrow gate, and it's really restrictive. It's hard to get into. It's got a lot of stuff, you know, you have to kind of let go of to get into that gate. And you look beyond it, it's a hard way to go. You know, it's hard to follow. The narrow gate leads to a hard road where there's pressure and persecution, where there's pain and suffering, and where a person is penalized by the majority and disrespected. And that's going to happen more and more, I think, in our culture. Most people don't want to be uncool. They want to be cool. They don't want to be dismissed by others. They don't want to be spoken against and marginalized. See, that's what happens through the narrow gate on the hard road. And this is why most people reject the narrow gate. There is a cost to traveling that road beyond the narrow gate, to give up everything for Christ and to experience affliction and suffering for Christ. Paul describes this hard road in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. He says, "We are hard pressed on every side." By the way, the word for hard pressed, that's exactly the same word that describes the road that is used in Matthew. We are hard. It's a hard pressed road. "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Why would anyone pick the narrow gate? And why would anyone pick this life? Well, Jesus gives us an answer when he contrasts the two results of those lives. The wide gate, that easy road, takes you to destruction, eternal destruction. It looks so good, so easy to travel on, but it's a deception. It lulls people into trusting in the wrong things. It takes away the goal of meaning and significance and replaces that with the goal of enjoying the trip. Enjoying the trip along with your friends, going with the flow, being comfortable. The wide gate leads to destruction. It leads to ruin and waste and complete loss of a life and of a future. The wide gate leads to the place where all that is good is destroyed. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but if you start thinking through your mind, I've got a short list here. All beauty, all kindness, all love, all goodness, and all hope are destroyed. And that process of destruction is experienced eternally. Jesus talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth, sadness and frustration forever. That's the result of going with the wide gate. And then Jesus compares the wide gate with the narrow gate. Where that goes. The narrow gate leads to life. It leads to the eternally indestructible life with Christ. We live in the presence of Christ as we go through that narrow gate, where our deepest longings are satisfied. We live with ever increasing joy and satisfaction and delight in God. We have great significance. It has all the pluses of like the excitement of falling in love with someone else, only it keeps on going forever. And Jesus calls his disciples to enter through that narrow gate. Choose the narrow gate, he's saying. Make the decision to follow Christ. Choose life rather than destruction. Well, we have a recorded here, a person who's contemplating these two gates. He's looking at both of them, kind of trying to analyze a decision. Actually, he's analyzing a decision he's made, and he's questioning whether he made the right decision. It's Psalm 73. He's hesitating as he looks at the two gates. He said in verse 2, "My feet had almost slipped, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He was looking around. He was looking at those majority people. He was looking at those people that went through that wide gate. They're on the easy road. And he says in verse 4 about those people, he says, they have no struggles. They are free from the burdens common to man. See, that's the place where you avoid the suffering. And then he said in verse 12, this is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Sort of an anti-karma attitude. And actually, really, karma doesn't work. That whole idea of karma, if you look at lives, it really doesn't work. And that's actually what he's doing. He's looking at them and saying, wait a minute, wait. They're the wicked, but they're having the good life. That doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right. Then God reveals to him the final result of their lives. How suddenly they are, this is what he says, how suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. Then the psalmist starts to talk about the narrow gate leading to the hard road. In verse 23 and following, he says, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, he saw the final result of being of his life, and that result is being with God, the one whom he loves more than anything on earth. But it wasn't just that. He also knew that God was with him right then, that he was holding his hand. And he knew that God himself would take him into glory. Verse 27, he says, those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I made my sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. He saw the deception of the lives of the wicked, that they led to eternal destruction. And he recognized the blessings of his life. He got to be near God as he lived out his life. And he got to proclaim the glorious deeds of God in his life. When we choose the narrow gate and follow the hard road, we're not alone. Christ is with us. In fact, that choice is the choice to follow close to Christ. His presence is a blessing. There will be suffering. In fact, that's guaranteed. There will be suffering when we choose Christ. But God promises blessing in that suffering. Paul says in Acts 14:22, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, in a worldly sense, that's a terrible promotion for the gospel. But that's everywhere in the gospel. It costs something. When we follow Christ through that narrow gate, we will be persecuted. That's a guarantee. In Matthew 5:10, which we heard just a little bit ago, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Persecuted, they're blessed. We will be blessed if we are persecuted. In verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. You look forward to the suffering, but there's a blessing in that suffering. In Matthew 5:12, the next verse there, Jesus said that we should rejoice and be glad when these things happen. Because our lives have meaning and significance like the prophets of God. There is blessing in our suffering. And we have, in the midst of that, a significant, high, and noble calling. It's not just endurance. The Christian life isn't just, well, I got to put up with all this nasty stuff going on. We have a calling to be the salt of the earth. To be the light of the world. You and I. God shining through us. so that men would see our good deeds and it would be evident in us. It's God in us. And Christ, God the Father, would receive glory. We live out a life that is a testimony to the fact that we have the Spirit of God in us, working in us and through us. It's amazing. I have a question for you. Do you ever wonder what people will say at your funeral? You ever wonder that? I've been to a lot of funerals. I've done a number of funerals. Some of them are so sad. You go to a funeral and some friend gets up and says, I can remember this. He was such a good golfer. You know, he just really was a great golfer. Or he was really a good businessman. When the story of your life is told or considered, what part do you want to play in? Now, we can choose the narrow gate and be the hero through whom God blesses others and brings glory to himself. Or we can choose the wide gate, the easy gate, and be the villain that leads people to destruction with our lives. But that's the easy way to go. Everybody seems to be going that way. If you get a Democratic vote on it, that's where we're all going. Or we can choose the narrow gate and be the wise person who understands the value of things, knows really what's important, and knows even how to pursue that important thing. Or we can choose the wide and easy route and be the fool who was deceived and willingly went to his own destruction. And that wisdom that we get, by the way, if we choose the narrow gate, it's because we have the Spirit of God in us, interpreting the world, giving us eyes to see truth that you can't see apart from the Spirit of God being in us, because we're all damaged goods. We all have a sin nature. We can choose the narrow gate and be joyous people who live their lives with and for Christ in the midst of their suffering, their difficulties, their afflictions, whatever, on their way to glory. Or we choose the wide gate, the easy gate, and be the person who's living out their lives with the approval of the majority, without lasting joy or satisfaction, on their way to destruction. In Matthew 16, 24 and following, Jesus says to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." He's describing the hard road that's through that narrow gate. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it." That's the guys going down the wide gate to the easy road. "But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." There is a reward for each one who follows Christ. Because as we follow Christ, we will bear fruit for him, eternal fruit, eternal consequences. As we follow him, through us, God will be glorified. God's people will be blessed. And what's amazing is, it's not us that does it. It's God in us, working through us. It's totally God. But then God comes down and says, "You were there while I worked through you and in you to accomplish this glorious thing. I'm going to give you the reward for the glorious thing." It's like, it's all by grace. We accomplish the significant thing by grace, and we receive a reward completely by grace. Jesus calls us and calls his disciples to choose the narrow gate and follow Christ. Robert Frost said, "Two words diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Have you chosen the gate and the road less traveled? If you have, that makes all the difference. Cost you your life, but it makes all the difference. It's the difference between having a life of total loss and destruction or having a life of victory and glory. Denying ourselves and following Christ is the only way to eternal life. There's not another route. Following Christ in this life brings joy and satisfaction in the midst of suffering that the world can't understand. It just doesn't make any sense. People singing to their death when they were martyred, that's just crazy. Obviously, people are insane. That was actually one of the reasons that Russia would take Christians and put them in an insane asylum. People that live, that think this way are obviously have a mental problem. That joy and satisfaction, it's a taste of eternity that we get to experience right now as we participate in the life of Christ and He participates in our life. He works in us and through us to bring glory to His Father and to bring blessing to others. There are two roads available to a life. One follows the world, goes to eternal destruction. And the other follows Christ to eternal life and eternal glory. May we all choose the narrow gate. It's not the obvious choice looking at the circumstances, but it's the one God calls us to. And follow the hard road that leads to eternal life. The place of greatest blessing. The place of greatest joy. Often the place of greatest suffering. But it's the choice we're called to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are confused people. We naturally don't get it right. We gravitate towards the easy stuff. We gravitate towards the stuff that everybody agrees is a good idea. Father, give us a clear vision. Father, give us a heart to make the decision to let go of the stuff that we're relying upon. Go through that narrow gate and trust that You will provide all that we need to travel that road less traveled. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.